Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. And thank you, Taiwan, for coming in at number 19 on the Apple Podcast charts. We appreciate you. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. First things first, last week on the show, we had Chef Rosanna Rivera and her hubby, Chef Ricardo, in-house. Can they cook? My goodness, can they throw down? Great episode, and it's about social media and food and how they work well together. Go back and listen. Today, it's how do you start a business? Do you have the know-how, the internal fortitude, the money? Well, many of us have endured the rocky road. Some of us are still on that road. Hashtag walk and talk. Our guest this week is a good friend of mine, chef and entrepreneur Tom Favorin, co-owner of Crab Island Seafood Company. This story is one of struggle, brick walls, and a steady diet of belly kicks. It's incredibly persistent, this guy, and he's a great person. I know him a long time, good dude. So with success, it all comes. Chef Tom is on deck, and there's Chef Carl, the other co-owner, in-house as well. He's watching from the green room. Chefs, we've been using Metro hot boxes, shelving, and even their mobile prep cart around the studio, and couldn't be happier. If you're planning on reorganizing your kitchen, well, be sure to contact our friends at Metro, your partner in organization and efficiency. Jefferson, you're a small business owner. Small in general. No, kidding. You've been through, you've been through it. We still are. And managing this kind of pressure, it's not for the faint of heart. And, you know, you have to, you kind of have to give the props to anybody who kind of throws their hat in the ring of entrepreneurship, starting a business, owning a business, in, you know, even investing, whatever. It's a big thing.
There's so many avenues, man. There's just, you can't even just pick one where to start. When you have the idea, but then you have to have the money behind it to do it, to bring it to fruition. And then you have to have, man, guts. You have to have what we call chutzpah, you know, huevones. You have to get out there and do it. And then when you're doing it, you have to make connections. You have to make sure that you're speaking the right terminologies to people. Like, I think one of the things that, especially we're talking about the restaurant industry, when you're a chef and then you leave the kitchen to go start your own thing, to go back into the kitchen to talk to chefs, wow, you're a leopard. You have just gone the you're not supposed to talk to them. Good God, there's no way I'm going to talk to you anymore. I don't know what it is.
Well, see, in my opinion, a leopard never loses its spots.
True. Leprosy.
Yeah.
There we go.
I know what you meant. I was trying to save you. You didn't have to do that. I saved you.
You know, when I speak and I mess up, I own it. Just like I did with the flan, I own it. So, okay. So just everyone knows, I did a smoked flan today. We are not taking pictures of it because Dingling took cupcakes, tins, the foil tins, and I had paper in it, and I put the caramel in there, and the caramel stuck to the paper. You know what it's called? First attempt in learning.
Hey, listen, I mean, it's okay. I think we should take pictures of it anyway. You know?
No, John's not going to do that because he doesn't want his name on that. I'll take pictures and show on my iPhone.
So, I feel like there should be some photography on it, and maybe on the... hey, this is what you don't do.
Well, I think there's a lot of times, and we're talking about owning something and being starting a business. I think one of the things you need to do is when you mess up, you have to learn from it. You can't beat yourself up to it. I mean, yesterday when I did it and I took it out after it cooled and I realized what I had done, I started going, what are you doing? You idiot. What that? That's so like rookie. And then I caught myself and went, wait, you've never smoked flan. Not the steps that I did. The first time I didn't have creme brulee bowls. I didn't have the right equipment, first of all, to do it. No comment. And when I got done with it, I just was like, hey, version 2.0 coming up next.
Well, I will tell you, because I had a bite. Taste is right on.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I'd eat it, you know? I mean,
well, you would be going like this with the paper afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
But, you know, you have to realize that when you're doing something, you have a version of it. Here's the other thing, too. And I guess when Chef Tom comes on, when you do something and you think it's perfect, the great chefs will always tweak it. They want to keep on, what can I do better? How can I make this better? What can I do to make it different every single time? And that's what I'm like. The first thing I did was like, I told John, I even told Carl off with a C, not a K. I told Carl, I'm like, the best thing that I could have done was use the molds. I have silicone molds. Didn't even think about that. I was so fixated on the china and I didn't have that.
Look, we're not mad at you. So is that where you went wrong? So here's the thing, because we don't have a lot of food today. Mm-mm. There's some, you made some bread.
Made some focaccia, made some ciabatta, the sticks.
Right.
Yep.
So, but I tell you what though, without there being any cooking, there's a lot of food in this house. Right? I mean, so.
There's a lot of smoked dip.
there's a ton of smoked dip. And our good friend Al, he came by and, you know, you can make a mention of that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And dropped off a bunch of really cool stuff. With that said, You made an error. You're talking about it on air. Give the steps 1, 2, 3, right? Take a minute and just say what you should have done. And then kind of get a little bit more into detail and where the mistake came.
Oh yeah. I mean, one, I probably should have used a thermometer, candying thermometer, because when you go past a certain time with, when you're candying sugar to make a caramel, there's a certain point where you're getting more of a taffy structure. Then you're getting candy, which is like way over and it's going to be rock hard. It's going to crack and it's going to snap, which is good. But when you're doing flan, it's a little bit different. Plus, because you're also cooking it. And that cooking process went over an hour. So there was that problem. The other problem, having the paper in there in the tins, if I would have just pulled the paper out and had the foil, probably would have been a little bit better. Maybe spraying it down. These are all things that I, afterwards, what I was doing. Silicone mold. Done. That's what I'm going to do when I get home. I actually have a quart left over. So when I get home, I was actually thinking about, should bring it over there. But Dingling froze it because I didn't know what I was going to do with it. So I didn't want to lose it.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, you know? Here's the thing. When you're doing things and you mess up, you want to make sure that you do it. Yes, you do this self-deprecation of it and you want to stop doing it. I get that. But you learn from it. It's the first attempt. And now you got to keep on telling you that. First attempt in learning. And that's what I could keep on doing. There's when you get to the perfection part of it, that's the different story.
I actually love how this is going to tie your error.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On this, on your production there ties into how when you go off into business, the error, and you get kicked in the belly, as I was mentioning in the monologue, belly shot after belly shot after belly shot. And if you stay with it, learn, pivot, make the adjustment, you know, you can find yourself on the other side. I think it's actually apropos. This fits perfectly with the day-to-day, although I do wish that you had. So what I'm going to do when I get home is I'm going to go to my mother-in-law and I'm going to say, Ma, do me a favor.
Tasis.
Make a flan.
Oh, and then you're going to take a picture of it and show me?
What I'm going to have her do is I'll have her make a flan and I'm going to bring it next week.
Don't have her make it like Wednesday. Don't do it today.
No, of course not. I'm going to tell her when I'm, you know, she knows what she's doing.
Okay. I know she knows, but do you?
I don't have to know. I show up with the spoon. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the
silver spoon for right now. Until Rack sends him a gold spoon.
Yes.
So Tina's going to send you a gold spoon now.
Tina from Rack. I want my gold spoon set.
Just a huge shout out. They just sent how many plates? Four cases. How many?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Plates.
It's amazing how we waste the mic on him. You know what I mean?
When he does talk.
Yeah.
We're going to add Carl over
it
here.
It looks pretty. Like it's a pretty mic you got there, bud. You know? There you go.
30 plates.
Okay. Now we're talking. Okay.
Write that down. That's the fifth time John spoke on the podcast.
Seriously. Silent John, indeed. It's so cool that they're doing this. And you know, listen, I think, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, Rack comes on board as a vendor partner or, you know, top tier sponsor. And that'll be terrific, guys. Again, Tina, thank you for sending everything you do send. We appreciate you very much. And her energy, by the way, is
God ridiculous.
Second to none.
I mean, it's so awesome. Yeah. You meet her and you just like, wow.
So people, I've had folks come to me and say, you know, how come everything you always talk about is like, oh, this person's great or that company's awesome, but I never hear you talking about anything negative. I don't speak about anybody or anything negative really on the show. That's not where I want to go with it, right? It's not a bashing sort of a framework with what we're doing. So when you hear me talk about, oh, you know, Chef Tom is a great guy, he's a great human. Yeah, I'm not gonna bring a dirtbag on and promote that person or that company. Right. So everything's positive.
Right. We fed everybody. Yeah. I mean, like Al, when he came into the studio, Al's a broker, mm-hmm. works for B&A.
Yeah.
He manages lines from all these different manufacturers. He's got guacamole in a cup. He brought burnt end sausages. Hello, burnt end sausages.
He's literally, I see him driving off behind you. I saw the car just
leaving.
Yeah.
And he brought sliced pork. Like it's almost like a puck for a Philly cheesesteak. He bought mascarpone cheese in, different cheeses from Schulman. So it's going to be great to taste them. And
you mentioned the guac cups?
I did mention the guac cups, but I didn't mention the company. I don't remember the name of it. I know it started with a G, remember of it. But it's frozen in a cup, so you can't go wrong with that. I mean, here's the thing when you're talking, and Chef will get involved in this when he talks about his product, the difference between shelf-stable, refrigerated, and freezer, because when you're going for distribution, distributors don't like things that are refrigerated because that means it has a shelf life that's short.
Yes.
For the most part. Mm-hmm. They also don't like things that are going to go in the freezer because when things are in the refrigerator that can go in the freezer, that real estate gets eaten up. They love things that are shelf stable. So there's a big balance that we have to do as far as distribution, and people don't understand that. It's great from being from both sides because I can play that field. Chef's learning that, and we can probably talk about that because that's going to be another huge obstacle.
Well, it is. And, you know, he and I have known each other for at least 5 years.
Sorry.
And he's been...
So sorry.
He's been, at least. And he's been... he's had some major ups and downs. He'll get into it. And you know what? All right. Enough about this. Chef Tom, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know what? Our pleasure. We've been talking about this for a long time. Being here.
About 5 years.
Well, something like that.
Almost 5 years.
Well,
Walk and Talk started in 2020.
Yeah, coming up.
So 5 years.
Yeah, almost. Well, my goodness. All right. So before we jump into everything, why don't you give a, take 30 seconds and do an airplane view of who you are, what you do, and how you got there.
Tom Favorin, that's my name. So we started out being airborne infantry, got hurt on a fun training day and, totally changed my life around, and then, put out in the military medically, and then, had to get a job, not trained in anything other than infantry. So I went back into what I knew, paramedicine and firefighting, did that for 20 years, got hurt, health-wise, massive heart attack, and it totally changed my life. And it came back to really what I should have done when I got out of the service was food, and got into selling shrimp, and from there into the crab dips and fish breads, and saw that flavor profile just launch, and I wanted to be part of that and bring a product that I actually loved to market. And that's where we're at today.
Now, well, again, to reiterate, we don't trash anybody on this show per se. You have had ups and downs in this thing. You have come so, because I know we've spent hours on the phone together, and, hearing the stories, it's remarkable. And you're still here, and now you're making things happen. Give a little bit of insight as to some of the challenges that you've had.
Just on the health side, ups and downs health-wise had really impeded the work I was doing, trying to get things started. And then you brought it up earlier, money, getting capital, getting that set up. We have been blessed so far. We had some great donations to our facility and making what we can do today. But COVID, when I was in the beginning of COVID, we had 60 restaurants we were selling fresh shrimp to, and COVID totally knocked that down. But from adversity comes triumph, really, to beginning to where we are today. I still think of it as a triumph to where we started out. Having a product that we have today, just being able to go out there and see people's faces when you're doing tastings or selling it, going, oh my goodness, this is amazing. This is the best I've ever had.
What makes your product so well? Like, how does it come off? You're saying everybody's loving it, and I've had it. It's delicious, but why? Why is it so delicious?
The biggest thing, is my partner, Chef Carl. He takes the time to get the recipes down to where we want. And like you said, Jeff, earlier, it's, constantly tweaking and getting that recipe to where you want it and then mass producing it. And that is a key right there, is being able to mass produce time in, time out, the same exact recipe and getting the same flavor profile at each batch. And Carl has been able to do that. Not you, the other Carl.
Right. So the biggest thing when I went to culinary school, Peter James, the dean who became dean of students, he always said the one thing that the restaurant industry doesn't do as a whole is consistency. And I kind of went above that and said, the restaurant industry consistently is inconsistent. And he said, if you want consistency in the restaurant industry, go work for McDonald's. So it's probably the hardest thing. What you did?
Wendy's.
Wendy's?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. He He worked at Wendy's because it's consistency, right? So the hardest thing to do is how do you get things consistency when you're talking about a restaurant? But when you're talking about, that's huge because that's bulk. So when you're talking about one cup, you know, finished product, but you're doing that on a scale that's so large.
Yeah, well, a pallet of ours, one pallet of product is 1,288-ounce tubs.
It's a lot.
And that's what you're doing today.
Yes.
Right? And before, you were doing it like small batch, probably, 20 at a time?
20 to 30 at a time, mm-hmm. Yeah. And each batch, each flavor, we have 7 different flavors right now. So 5 different crab dips and then a smoked mahi and a smoked salmon. So just a little bit of time and growing and growing. And really, one thing I have to revert back on is something that was very difficult was I'm very trusting. So I've learned over time not to be as trusting and to put that wall up to begin in the beginning before I get to know them because we have been burnt. And in this industry, people taking ideas, paperwork is key. Getting that non-disclosure.
Yeah, I was going to say NDA and non-compete.
Yeah, yeah it is because there's people out there and they'll take your idea and run with it. So unfortunately, we learned, but it happens. We learn, we move on. We shoot, we move, and we communicate. And that's my military background that has helped me get to where we are right now. And it'll get me to where we want to be.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
I want to point out that that's something that's very wonderful about his company. It's veteran-owned. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing. So if you want to help somebody that's not only local trying to grow their business, you want to help somebody that served and try to protect our country, veterans. Hello.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, man.
Well, so with that said, where do you find it?
Right now, we do farmers markets on the weekends, all through St. Pete. Hillsborough County, a little bit in Tampa,
and to keep it military, that's real grunt work right there.
Yeah,
you're coming. You're really doing it from the bottom up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hustle.
Yeah.
Let's call it hustle.
Yeah, big time.
So, what that does for us is that covers our overhead, our kitchens, our insurance, everything like that. That covers our overhead, and then we have branched off into wholesale. So we're in several different locations, couple restaurants, couple bars, Heights Meats, Southern Steer Butcher. We just got into Riverview Fresh Market. So we're branching out. And
Heights Meats is a good outfit. Are you in all the locations?
So we're in the Clearwater and Tampa, and we'll be hopefully here in the next 2 weeks, be in the Brandon and the Lakeland.
Okay.
So all locations here within the next couple of weeks. And then with Southern Steer, we're in 2 locations, Clearwater and St. Pete. But we are looking to branch off into, they have 6 locations. So we're going to be branching off into them.
So this is really this is like your moment, your front of the house jumping off point. I should say.
Most definitely.
Right?
Like, yeah, 100%.
For the last few years, it's really just been like, okay, how do I get this thing moving? Because you still work full time.
No. Actually, Carl and I have left.
Did you?
Yeah. We were over at the Birchwood Inn,
yeah.
And we both left and we in August of last year. And we said, okay, we're all in. So we're doing what we have to do to survive and build this as much as we can, as fast as we can.
Man, that's when you don't have the floor under you anymore, it's scary.
It's nonstop.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think it's really scary. I think it's more of one of how can I?
Well, it's a legit fight or flight.
100%. Right? I think you got to look at it that, you know, I'm going to fight, especially him, because what he's been through, he's been fighting. When you were talking, I have this image of that egret or that bird, and he's got the frog, and the frog's grabbing the throat, and it says, never give up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the motto that we have to be as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be wired differently to start your own business, no matter if it's in the restaurant industry or not. I think, like I alluded to earlier, is being a chef in the kitchen, chefs talk to you, but when you step out of the kitchen and try to sell the product, you're looked at as less than a person. They don't talk to you anymore. It's like weird.
Yeah, especially with our product, it's a pre-made product, and a lot of the higher end restaurants will, and I wouldn't say higher end, but people that wouldn't want to make it their own, and they're like, well, I can do better.
Right.
And that attitude does come across when you talk to them, and you're like, listen, let's look at your man hours. Well, your costs, yeah, but your man hours to make this. And how long is it going
to
last?
Well, yeah, but sometimes it pays to have a product like that as your base, right? You bring it in, it's your base product is ready, and now you chef it and dress it up.
You know, yeah, but a lot of times, and I've said this before, the way you need to talk to a chef, because you know he can talk that language, and that's what I was alluding to. We speak differently than salespeople, unless you're a chef. But there's always have to be that translation. When you walk into a chef, you got to give them the three things. How are you going to give me my time back? How are you going to increase my profitability? And how are you just going to make it an incredible product that I can put my name on it itself? If you give those three answers, chef's going to buy from you, because that's how they're going to, that's the mindset that the chef works. Like what chef just said, Chef Tom, like what's their man hours? My best thing was when somebody was like, I make my own ravioli. I'm like, well, what do you pay yourself? She goes, oh, it's free. Cause I do it myself. Oh, you want to come work for me? No. Well, what's the difference? She didn't understand the difference between you own the company, but you have to have a price on your head for what you do. Because if you're not, then you shouldn't be in business.
Exactly. Yeah. So right now we don't look at it. We look at it that way, but we don't look at it that way as we're building, right? Because we want to make the company as big as possible and get our product name out there and have everybody enjoy it. But that's always in the back of our head. What are we worth? You know, our time has a cost to it. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're not putting that into the company. But we know. I mean, when I worked EMS, I was working 100-plus hours a week. Now, I'm probably...
99?
Yeah, 99.75. But it's something that I love, so it's not...
It's not working.
It's not working, right. Now, my wife would say otherwise.
Right. It's a hobby.
Well, they always do. And at the end of it, it's something you're building, you know, for yourself, for Carl. Like, you guys are doing...
A legacy.
It's your thing.
Yes.
Right. So that changes the whole dynamic of your time. You
right.
Know, it's like, I look at it that way. It's one thing if, you know, if I'm giving my, 70 hours a week to somebody... Okay, but they're getting my 70 hours a week. If I'm putting 70 hours a week into something that, you know, was created in house, it's our thing, that's different.
It is a different. It's self-gratifying to know what we're doing. And actually, when you do things wrong, you learn from it and you move on. But you have that instance of going, oh, great, I screwed up. Okay, now we know. And it has been that. I mean, we are on the ground fighting every day and learning every day.
What has been one of your biggest stumbling blocks? Like, what did you trip on most?
Capital. Like everybody else, it's capital is the hardest thing to procure, to find that backer, to say, okay, this product is what we want to back and be able to grow from there.
And how did you find finance?
Working with people over the years that have looked at the product and said, okay, yeah, this is a great product. We want to get behind it.
But is it something that you stumbled on or somebody fell into you or you went out and you said, you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to find that person.
It was a working relationship. Our backer is in the fish industry, shrimp guy from Georgia. And he saw this product. He has a whole product line himself. He sees the opportunity that it can grow. And he gave us the opportunity to get started.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
So what you have coming up next is going to be something to the effect of distribution. That's your next big thing.
That's our next big thing, yeah.
Okay, how are you tackling that?
We are in talks with, I guess I could say it, Cheney Brothers. We're in talks with them right now to have them start distributing. We have actually partnered with them, I could say, with getting all the ingredients through them. And then we're able to make it, and they're going to market and distribute through. We have a couple locations that they are through Cheney that they do take our crab dips and fish breads that are actually doing stupendous. I mean, it's amazing how fast they're going out.
And that, well, so Cheney's, so for me, broadliners, you know, US, Sysco, Cheney, those are probably the top three, and you know, maybe coming
here in Florida.
In Florida. Right. You know, maybe then after that you have like a PFG or Gordon even. They're a great outfit. And they look for things like this.
Yeah, they do. And that's what's nice about it is they're family owned. And they see what we're trying to do and trying to stay with the family and build it up and build a legacy for my family, for Carl's family, to be able to grow together and make great product and push it out. And it's a nice thing because it's not just, I know some of the other broadliners will, okay, I want it across the states tomorrow. And it's nice that in talks, Cheney's like, well, okay, we'll start it here and we'll grow together, which is...
They're not trying to destroy your capacity.
Right.
Well, he couldn't, like if he went to a Sysco, let's say, and they said, we want to in all 50 states, he can't ramp up the...
That's what I'm saying. Right. You know, because they have...
Unless you want to donate some.
They can donate. Cash. I'm not going to donate. If I had that cash, it'd be donated to the banking cartel, the Waka Talk. No offense, Jeff.
We'd bring you in, don't worry. So, you know, at the end of it, they'd come in and they would say something to the effect of, well, you know, we need X amount of capacity, you know, product for X amount of, you know, warehouses in the state, whatever, or states, plural. And that can kill somebody. Like that'll mm-hmm. kill your, absolutely destroy your
business. Absolutely destroy. You don't want to grow too fast, you know, too big, too fast.
A lot of companies do that. I mean, listen, there's a major company that made an $11 million mistake and they're about to close down.
Yeah.
So everybody makes, you don't know who I'm talking about.
No. I do.
Darden.
Oh yeah, sure.
Well,
sure.
They weren't owned by Darden. No, I think they sold off.
Yeah, they're separate now.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, you mentioned it, like, here's the prime example. You do something, you mess up, and you mess up that big in $11 million loss. That's huge.
Yeah, and then you get bought and sold, broken down, sold for parts. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we can go on and on and on about, you know, the different, you know, the different restaurants that were thriving that bought something that didn't end up doing so well. I mean, Hops is a prime example.
I mean, that can go as simple as buying the space next door, you know? And
how many times you see a restaurant where they're like, they go, oh, we got to expand, and they expand, and the next thing they know, they, 2 months later, they're closed, or, you know, 6 months later to a year, they're closed because they just didn't have them, or they open a second spot.
Yeah.
And they end up closing. So it's, again, it's a really, it's a tightrope walk when we're talking about the restaurant industry, because I don't think your margins are about the same as the restaurant industry margins, correct?
Yes.
So a lot of people think, oh, I have a cousin that actually cuts shoes for Steve Madden. The markup on shoes is ridiculous. We can't do 155%. Some people like to. On chicken, think about that for a second. If you buy chicken at $3, you're going to go buy chicken in a restaurant for $50? So that's a tough thing to swallow. So the margins, people don't realize, yeah, he owns his own company. He's got a manufacturing plant. He's doing the crab and shit. Think people are going to be, oh, you're rolling in dough. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. What is it, like 5 to 10% is?
Yeah. Your overall, yeah. Your so it's not, yeah, we want to make it competitive. We want to make a little bit of money. And ours is a little bit different because the way we do it, we can freeze ours. And you were talking about that earlier about freezing and fresh. With our recipe, we're able to freeze it for 6 months. So that takes more space.
Well, not only
to do.
Not only that,
it's more cost.
Here's the other problem. The raw ingredient you're getting is a commodity ingredient. So that fluctuates more so than the other guys because of what they're using as their ingredient.
Yeah, it's gone up about 40%. Yeah. In the last about 2 months. So, you know, it fluctuates. We try to lock in prices, but unfortunately it's, you know, the way it is. So we have to go with the flow. So when people are like, well, okay, what's your price? Here it is. Well, you don't know everything that goes behind the scenes to get that there.
I mean, you use mahi, right?
Yes.
So mahi back in the day when I was first starting out was like $2, $3 a pound. You know, what is it going now?
It's not, mahi's not that bad right now. Mahi is actually about $4 a pound.
Oh, okay. So,
it's not down. That. It's the crab.
The blue crab.
Blue crab is through the roof. And also our smoked salmon. Because we use a wild caught Chilean salmon. So it's a little bit higher grade. It's considered a sushi grade. So we get it in. It's pretty pricey.
So basically, the differentiation from you to the other guys that are doing smoked fish dips or smoked dips is that you're using a better quality product, better ingredients.
Yeah, we're using a higher quality of blue crab. And actually, the mahi, a lot of people, when they do their mahi dips, they're using scraps, the bellies, whatever's cut off. We use loins. So
that makes a difference, huge difference. Well,
and also some people, when they do fish, specifically fish dip, not mahi or a specific fish species, they use jack or king.
Right. So what they'll do is they'll take the mahi, say it's a mahi spread, and what they'll do is they will put a percentage of mahi, so you're getting that flavor, and then cut it down with
filler,
whiting fish.
Right.
And so no one really looks at the ingredients. They'll see mahi and then a couple of lines down the road, there's, and then your whitefish. So we're 100% through and through all mahi and salmon. So we don't cut anything down. So our costs are a little bit higher, but you're getting a much higher quality fish spread and crab dip. We use all fresh ingredients to where we can. The mahi, the jalapenos, the green onions, everything is, the spinach, everything is fresh.
So you're using fresh jalapenos?
Yes.
Okay. The reason why I'm shocked is because each jalapeno is differently. When you're doing a sauce per se, because I have that PTSE, that's a mash. So I can control the amount of heat with the mash that's coming in. When you do what he's doing, you know, everything you can, it's almost like a, one of those ones that were the shishito peppers. You don't ever know what's going to be the spicier of the two. So how do you control the heat on that?
That's Chef Carl's little secret there. We have it down that we can you know, basically every single batch is the same exact batch. The key is fresh jalapenos. You know, a couple days old, you're going to get that heat level is going to actually come down, and that flavor profile is actually going to change because you don't have that fresh ingredient in there. So when we make things, it's fresh off the batch, boom.
So at the moment, your current product list, how many different flavor profiles do you have?
Currently, we have 7 different flavors.
I like when he says currently, because I think Carl's got some others in the...
Carl's got
he just rolled his eyes.
Carl's got like an encyclopedia kit of all these different recipes that he's wanting to try. I have to turn it back a little bit when we say, wait. No.
He just said encyclopedia. Half the people we just lost.
Like, what is that?
It's Google in books.
Yes.
It's a Googlepedia.
Yeah. It's New Times Roman. In the print, single spaced.
Right.
But yeah, we have 7 different flavors. We have our smoked mahi, our smoked salmon, dill, and that's fresh dill. You just put it in. And then in our crab dips, we have a buffalo blue cheese, a Mexican street corn,
elote,
a jalapeno popper, a spinach artichoke parmesan. And I think the biggest and newest is it's really taking off is our crab ragoon.
That one I've had.
I'm down for that. I'm down for all those, but you know, I'm a sucker for crab ragoon.
Yeah. We're actually having a lot of customers come to us and say, oh, this is what we did. When like one of our customers bought a whole mess of, you know, like 5 pounds of from the ragoon, and they came back and said, oh, we made stuffed shells with it.
Okay.
Put a little vodka sauce on it, and they said it was amazing.
Don't look at me. I was thinking, here's where I went with it. Grouper or mahi filet encrusted with the crab rangoon and panko with a sherry reduction.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah.
Do we don't have, can we do this today?
We don't have the fish to do it.
I mean, we'll make the fish happen. My goodness.
Yeah. Stop. I haven't eaten yet.
You sound like Carl.
Today, this is a weird day today. All right. Our food situation today is just like it just worked out.
It's just bread.
Well, we have the dips. We have all 7. You're going to try them all.
Well, you brought some stuff that's frozen, too. Is that experimental?
It's all thawed out.
No. I'm talking about in the bag that I put in the freezer that looks like
empanadas. You have to fry that.
Oh, yeah. So we have a Mexican street corn empanada. So what we try to do is we make a couple different things to show that they're just not dips.
Right.
You know, you can cook with them. You can make different things with them. And so we brought a buffalo blue cheese croquette. And a Mexican street corn empanada. Air fryer. You had me a croquette.
He needs an air fryer. He's got one. He's actually has a fryer too.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, you could do it either or.
I think air fryer is nice.
All of a sudden you're watching your waist?
It's healthier.
Yes. Because of the heart attack issue.
Well, yeah.
Are you going to show everybody your zipper?
Yeah, he already showed me.
Yeah. Okay. I was gonna. You know, it's funny. I was gonna say the longer you know Tom, you're gonna see the scar.
You're gonna see the zipper.
You're gonna see the scar.
The one of many scars. Yeah. So, but yeah. That actually changed my life more than you guys know. Basically, I hated seafood before my heart attack. The only thing I would eat were clams.
Meat?
No. Just clams. Seafood wise.
Okay.
I would eat clams, and I'd have to have like 40 pounds of butter on them. But because of the heart attack and the anesthesia, it actually totally changed my palate. So now I can do hot things. Before, pepper was spicy for me, but now I can do hot things. Yeah, it totally changed my palate.
My wife's palate from giving birth, she can't have certain things. She was a pescatarian. She couldn't eat fish for almost 5 years.
Okay, childbirth, we know.
She had an epidural, which is anesthesia, so that could have affected her with the palate.
But everything weird happens to
Pregnant?
Did you have a baby?
I look pregnant, but if I was pregnant and I'm a male,
there's all sorts of things that happen to the female body that changes internally, all sorts of stuff. But the fact that, you know, this happened to him, and whether it was anesthesia or the actual, you know, heart attack, that's insane.
Literally, like caviar. I can do caviar now. I can do.
Were you in the business at that time, or you were still?
I was still a paramedic. Right. I was working contract work in Iraq, and I was home on vacation. It was my last weekend in country here to go before I went back, and I was actually under the knife when I was supposed to be on a plane back to Iraq. So
they still wanted you there at the time too, right? Like every other employer.
Oh yeah, they wanted me so much that I woke up a couple days later after my surgery and everything like that, and they said, "Oh, you're out of a job." So I was actually let go from the contract work while under the knife.
Wow. Yeah,
it's government contract work. Don't get me wrong, I love what I did, and I will not give that up because it's a part of me. You know, 20 years doing medicine, then working overseas, great job, loved it. But you know, he has other plans. So this is what he's led me to. So this is what I'm excited to do. But yeah, it was surprising.
And
so,
you don't want to fight what he has planned for you either.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
It's funny. He went from like being in battle to now battling, getting his product into places.
It is a lot like the military.
Oh, and the kitchens are always, that's why I think we're the lighthouse for ex-military. I find out more kitchens have ex-military.
It's either ex-military or
ex-cons.
Ex-something.
Yeah, because we are the catalyst for this structure, and I think that's one of the reasons why, because when you don't have it, and you have that hierarchy, obviously, with the executive chef all the way down, but there's structure, there's standard operating procedures. I guarantee you, looking at Carl and looking at Chef, they have SOPs. Whether they're written down or not is probably another different thing, but they definitely have SOPs.
Yeah, it's basically also, Chef Carl going, don't touch it.
it's also looking at Chef Carl and Chef Tom, and you go, I don't want to meet him in a dark alley either. You know, they can go both sides of this. True story.
That true story. Yeah.
And you were Army, right?
Oh yeah,
because we were talking off.
Yeah, they're only real branch. So that's just a little joke. Little joke, guys.
By the way, Chef Gaston over here in Tampa.
Yeah, when is he coming to come on?
Soon.
I know he's a busy man.
He is. Well, before he moved into the new spot, which I'm so mad I didn't get a chance.
It's a great spot.
I know. Well, he invited me and said, hey, man, come to the grand opening. And I was tied up. Anyway, long story short, we were talking about him coming on the show before, he got the
new spot.
And now it's just been, everybody's just been slammed.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because every time I would see him or when I would see him, it would be at Restaurant Depot in the cooler when we're running in and grabbing something and getting out because I forgot my jacket.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Chef, I was sticking up for you here because Tom was, ribbing on you for the coastie thing. I'm just saying.
I appreciate everybody that they do. Everybody in each branch is amazing. But if you were in the Army, it is. And today is more so because today is June 6th and it is the anniversary. 80 years of D-Day.
Yes.
So thank you for everybody that's lost their lives because of this nation and great nation. And, even everybody that's still serving. I appreciate everybody.
Yeah, we had the honor in Dallas to cover and judge the Air Force against the Coast Guard for an MRE challenge, and it was just amazing to see the team. We actually, I don't know if I told you, but at the NRA show, right next to Chris Steveley Woodworking, diagonally from them was the Coastie. Oh, they actually had a booth.
The same gang?
Yeah,
there was three of the guys there. The guy with the glasses, mm-hmm. so the black hair, and the other guy that was in competition, the bald guy.
Yeah.
They were there with one of the girls. They were like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, oh my God, it's great to see you. It was great to see them because there they are in their element trying to get, people to come in and understand.
Yeah, I was there last year and those guys, they had like 12 coasties there. and they were just rocking it.
Yeah.
They had people signing up and young kids, young students that were coming to the NRA show, and they were flocking to the Coast Guard, which is awesome.
Yeah, but you said something about puddle jumper or something like that.
That's what you said. That was the joke.
No. Tom said
no,
that.
But now no, during, I didn't say I that. Did, no, I you, didn't say that. No, you no. did it, DM, when we were at the Dallas thing. That was something about the puddle jump and the pirates.
Pirates or something. What I did. Let me. So
one of the coaches is going to email you and be like, no, dude, this is what it is.
I asked them.
I know you did.
Yeah, I got permission. I said, listen, I want to do a joke. What's a good, branch versus branch thing I can do to, just spark a little energy or whatever. So the actual ribbing came from the Coasties. They said, they told me what to say about themselves.
Inner branch, even within the branches, like if you're, infantry or artillery, EOD, what EOD is, you just plug your ears up and stomp on the ground to find those bombs. I mean, it's just razzing is
part of the job.
And you get that in the kitchen too.
I'm just about to say that. That's where it comes from too.
And this is the part where today it is changing. It's changing in the military and in the kitchens. And I hope it doesn't 100% change, because you have to have that. It's part of building the camaraderie, man. You need to have that.
I think the only thing that needs to change is the hours we work and the glorification of it. And then I think the razzing still has to happen, because if you do stupid stuff, how many times did you send somebody to go get a bucket of steam in the basement in Florida? All the time. Left-handed screwdriver.
Excuse me. I didn't send anybody. They sent me.
Or the bacon stretcher.
Yeah. I mean, you do those crazy things in the Army. We had the nuclear time clock, which you had to get in your chemical suit, and you would send someone to the company, and then the company would send a battalion, and the goal was to see if they could get them up to division in their full chemical suit. little things like that, and that happens in this kitchen. And it's absolutely great. I mean, you have to have a little bit of tough skin. Nowadays, you don't see it as much.
No.
But you have to have tough skin, and you just got to move on. You got to shoot, move, communicate. And that's the key.
That's a great segue into having thick skin as an entrepreneur starting a business. Mm-hmm. You have to have alligator skin on you, because you're, like you said, get kicked in the stomach every turn. Like, you're going to talk to somebody, and they give you the, oh, it's great. And then you're like, oh, great, I'll call you. Like, yeah, call me on Tuesday. You call on Tuesday.
And they don't know you.
You ghost you.
You have to learn to be able to accept the word no and not take it personally. And that's the key. If you learn to do that and say, okay, let's move on. All right. You didn't like it. There's going to be 50 other people that do like it. And you just push on and push on and push on. You just say, okay, if you don't like it, fine.
Do you know what no means? It's an acronym.
No.
Next opportunity.
There you go.
Yeah. I like the word pivot. You guys hear me say pivot a lot.
I hate that word because of COVID.
I hate the word because of friends.
Pivot.
I like
it. He doesn't remember the episode.
I don't.
Amy Yee's going to call you now because you don't remember it. Because she's a friend's fan.
Well, let her.
She's going to call you. She probably sends you the actual episode.
Send me the link. So
you don't know that? Come on. Everybody knows
friends. I don't remember.
Pivot.
I don't remember. But I do like it in how I approach challenges in what we're doing. And, there's probably been 30 pivots in this. John threw up on the mixer. Yeah. There's been so many changes and stop. This direction. Stop. This direction. Stop. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But you have to roll with it. Okay, no problem. And take it and then go in another direction.
Yeah. And it gets to me. Because the military and because the EMS too, I have some issues and they get to me, but I have to sit there and take that time to meditate and go back through my mind and say, okay, it's not me. Things change. We have to go. And it takes a little bit sometimes, personally, but It's a learning process every single day.
I have an in-law that you need to meet. He was in the Army. He's actually a little bit older than me. Probably your age. he was in the Army. Also, you know, paramedic and all that stuff. And he ended up, he still works. He's a, what do they call the, at the post office, postmaster. He's a postmaster general. Cool cat. You guys are like the same person. Legit the same person.
Yeah, you it's basically what you get right here is from 20 years of EMS and 10 years of the Army. He's just very cold. I joke a lot, but deep down I care. So I want to be able to use that and push this new product out with the caring and learn how to, you know, and take, like I said, when someone says no, I can't take it personally. I got to be able to say, okay, it's not you. And we see that the farmers market too. People come up and taste our product, and they're like, "Oh no!" And the person behind them going, "Like, oh my god!"
But that's the where you are. I said it before. You're like a ground zero for, you know, you're looking for trouble at those farmers markets.
No, it's not. It's not necessarily that, because I was thinking about as we're talking, and I was thinking about, and one of the things as an entrepreneur that we always miss is that we think with our friends they're going to buy from us, and they don't.
No, they want everything for free.
Yeah, oh, sure. You got that? Let me get that for free. But yet on the same token, you want to go ahead and support Nike, and it's just a brand. Great. You like to, but you don't go in there and go, can I get that? Oh, it's $50. Can I get it for $25? You go in there and you spend. You go into Apple and you spend $1,200 on a new phone. You don't even blink an eye. But you go to someone like Tom and be like, oh, can I get that for, at a farmer's market? Can I get, oh, it's 10. I'll give you 9. No, it's not, let's make a deal. You know, I have prices and structures, and you would think friends would. That's my biggest thing when I took off and when I opened up my own restaurant with my partner. I thought, oh man, we're going to be busy because we've got all these friends going to be coming in. Crickets. They weren't there to support. So you have to, you know, that was my biggest thing. My biggest thing when I opened the restaurant was, how do I get people in the door? Because I thought I was going to have people come in the door. And that right. was my naive
yeah, stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because you're sitting there and you're, it's your baby.
Yeah.
And you know that you love everything that you're doing, and you automatically think that everybody else is going to do it. You know, they're going to love it, and you're just going to walk in. And that's been one of our challenges, is marketing and getting our name out there to have people try it. But once they try it, I mean, our markets are going crazy.
Now, you talk about marketing, social media. Do you have a social media
presence? Yeah, we have a website, CrabIslandSeafoodDip.com. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
What is it?
Crab Island Seafood.
Okay. Not just making sure.
Sorry, yeah. I brought Crab Island Seafood. So.
Don't look at me like
I thought you would know.
Like you don't know?
Come on. It's not about me knowing.
Do you know his labels? Do you know who made his labels?
Yeah, this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, but so, I'm giving you that this is like your nod to go and promote your stuff.
Well, no, I wanted to bring up the social media aspect of it, not so he would announce it. It was because of what we talked about with the Rosanna.
I know.
And the presence that's so
but now
required.
It's, you know what, now that, it's his time, though, to put it out yeah. there.
And that has been a really strong struggle for us.
Well, you're
social
how old?
Media. I'm
old.
29.
Okay.
Yeah. 53.
Okay. Well, he's our age. Carl? 43. So you don't have that balance as having somebody that's a millennial that can say, hey, you guys need to do it this way. Do you have people that resources you can talk to that just your ACF chapter?
Yeah,
have somebody?
My daughter.
There you go.
Yeah. My daughters. But you know, they're.
Dad, 20. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You need millennial or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is that millennial? What is that?
So Gen Z, and now they change. Now it's the alphabet. Is the next my kid, my daughter's grid generation is called the alphabet or something like the alpha or something. I don't know what it is, but
I think I'll get my 5-year-old niece to hook us up and set up the whole social media. Cause I'm serious. No. These kids are nowadays. I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah.
These kids nowadays.
Well, when I was using the ringer with the dial and hey,
you I messed up the phone that. Number on the rotary phone. Yeah. Oh man.
Damn it. Yeah. The kitchen phone with the 15-foot
25-foot cord.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, we all remember that. Yeah. Again, this is when everybody shut it off.
But yeah, literally everybody just shut the episode wise, off. I mean, there's so much out there that you can do that, and constantly every single day you're, okay, I got to post here. I got to post here. I got to post here. That's one of the things when we get to that point to be able to is have a company come in and handle. It's because it's all about delegation.
Look, Tom, here's the thing.
It's ours. It's the manpower to do.
And Carl. All right. Here's the thing. You guys are doing big work. You're doing awesome stuff. And I know that you specifically, and now this guy, you guys are going to push forward and keep going. And you're now going to hit, you're actually going to hit the jackpot. And what I mean by jackpot is not like, you know, tons of cash, hopefully tons of cash, but you're going to get to the next phase here.
Yeah. And that's what it is. It's all about phases. So yeah. You want to get your objective, complete that objective and move to the next objective. And
I love when you talk like this.
I know, isn't it? But we're doing it. So we're thank you for having us, because this has been amazing.
We've been talking about it forever. I'm so glad that you came today.
Guest on Southbound Deck.
I'm also happy that you brought food. Yeah, it's really what it is. I just want to make sure everybody knows that the pronunciation is lychee. The Mandarin pronunciation is lychee.
Or lychee. You guys go ahead and say whatever you want to say. Yeah. Gravy, sauce, lychee, lychee.
It's sauce.
And tomato,
it's
tomato.
Lychee. This is not potato, potato. Some say potato. No, this is not that. All right. My goodness. Chefs out there, check out Metro. And others, go to our website, see who we're working with. Okay, gentlemen, Silent John, my boy Jefferson, the other Carl
with a C,
the and, real Carl.
Don't forget Evan.
That wasn't. My God. All right, Evan, back there doing the good video. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.